The former student and schoolmaster met shortly thereafter in July 1776, though their roles were very much reversed. Bancroft left their meeting with a note from Dean to Garnier, the French chargé d'affaires in London, and departed for that capital straight away. The committee had instructed Silas Deane to write to the French diplomat upon arrival, since he looked favorably on the patriots and could be an asset. They also instructed him to get in touch with Arthur Lee, sent by the Revolutionary Congress to represent their interests in France. Deane had followed only half of the order, dutifully writing to Garnier, but excluding Arthur Lee so that his plots might be kept secret from Congress for as long as possible. Bancroft thus became Deane's sole courier and only confidant, powerful positions both, and he immediately capitalized on the opportunities. He was even savvy enough to later instruct Deane to use the French diplomatic pouch to avoid suspicion. Once in London, Edward Bancroft contacted his former employer in Suriname, Paul Wentworth, who had since become the principal spy of William Eden, the British Undersecretary of State, in hopes of earning a baronetcy from Parliament. Bancroft offered his services to him, then saw to it that the information reached Lord Stormont, who represented George III in France. Though the channel was by no means direct, Stormont knew the specifics of Deane's activities long before his bosses in the Revolutionary Congress in America. Deane, ironically, never figured out that his partner Edward Bancroft was a British double agent. By mid-August, Whitehall knew that Deane had already purchased 15,000 stand of arms and sent them to a warehouse in Nantes, that Vergennes had met with Deane secretly and pledged his support, that Deane had then requested arms and clothing for 25,000 men together with 200 light brass field cannon, that Vergennes, in turn, had delivered the guns, showing Deane how to remove all incriminating French markings embossed on them, and directed him to Leray de Chaumont, a well-connected merchant, to acquire the clothing, and that the minister had recommended arms dealer Pierre-Augustin Caron de Montmarchais to Deane and had promised to support his credit for 3 million livres worth of supplies, all thanks to Edward Bancroft. The judicious spy, however, never informed them that he, the American agent in his trust, and many others within their circles, had begun their own trading ventures and were soon engaged in purchasing supplies, fitting out privateers, buying, selling, and controlling the prices of prizes, and other activities in which they possessed unrivaled advantages by reason of their strategic political connections. Although Eden and Stormont eventually learned of these intrigues, they never learned enough to put a stop to them. Eden ensured that Bancroft was compensated for his services. In December, the British double agent was promised a life pension of £200, which was later increased to £500 at his request. He was well worth the cost, it seemed, as he saw to it that Wentworth and Stormont were kept abreast of the development of Vergennes' alliance. Bancroft and Stormont even developed a system using a stain or invisible ink similar to Washington's Culper Ring. Every Tuesday night, before 9:30, he was to leave his intelligence in a sealed bottle in a hole at the foot of a tree on the south terrace of the Tuileries in Paris. The information, disguised as a private letter on the subject of gallantry and signed Dr. B. Edwards, was contained in a hidden message written in the secret ink between the lines. Any communication to Bancroft was left under a nearby box tree at the same time. Curiously, Bancroft's revelations as a double agent working for the British were quite limited. For instance, he never disclosed the information that his British handlers would need to block colonial efforts to obtain desperately needed weapons and other war materiel. As Julian Boyd has written, Stormont knew to the last musket ball and bayonet what was in the hold of the Amphitrite, but somehow Bancroft seemed unable to tell Wentworth what course the convoying fleet would take. Less patriot than businessman, Bancroft first and foremost always remained steadfastly loyal to his own enterprises.